Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode, I'd like to feature an interview I recently recorded with MJ Toms. MJ is Director of Education and Experiential Learning for our Batten Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And I recently sat down with her to talk a little bit more about some of the resources that are available to executive format students who are interested in entrepreneurship. So without further ado, here's my interview with MJ. MJ, welcome to the Exec MBA podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So we've had an ongoing series of conversations with different people in our Executive MBA program, students mostly, about entrepreneurship in the executive formats, and feel like we've got some interesting momentum there, right? An increasing number of students who are interested in entrepreneurship, and invited you on the podcast to talk with you a little bit more about some of the ways the Batten Institute supports our executive format students. So maybe before we get into that, talk a little bit more about your role here at the Darden School.
Well, I support all the student-facing programs around entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology that the Batten Institute supports. So the Batten Institute has been endowed very generously by the Batten family, and through that we are able to fund a lot of activities and scholarship on the research side through faculty and research fellows, thought leadership, etc. I am not involved with any of that part. I am involved with all the part that actually directly supports students, student entrepreneurs, students interested in working for startups, careers in like high growth startups and technology companies, so product management, those kinds of areas. We are also beginning to be more closely tied with the dual degree students in the data with the data science. I think it's called the MBA MSDS. So we are supporting their activities. So that would be kind of the broad scope of what I get involved in.
One of the fun things this past weekend, so our newest exec students, our class of 2020, just arrived. And as part of that, they introduced themselves to their future classmates. And there were a solid 20 people in the room that said, hey, look, I'm interested in starting a business. Here's some things that I'm interested in. If this sounds like you, you know, hit me up, follow up with me afterwards. And it feels like we've had a growing number of exec students who've expressed an interest in starting their own business. It seems like a natural progression. You work for somebody for 10 plus years, maybe start thinking about working for yourself. Taking a little bit of a deeper dive into how you've worked with the executive format students, what are some of the resources that come to mind when you think about entrepreneurship in the executive format?
Well, so something that's very new, and somebody else may have already mentioned it, is the executive program now has their own student club called MBEC, which is the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club. Mm-hmm. And we plan to support activities that the students in the MBEC program design themselves. We have a lot that is done by the residential students in the Entrepreneurship and Venture Capital Club, but it's not always accessible to students that aren't here in Charlottesville. We were able to support at least one gathering that happened last year, but we're really hoping to ramp that up. And that can be anything from just, you know, purchasing food, arranging spaces, helping to get speakers, helping to get alumni involved. And that's typically what we do for the residential program as well.
One of the things that I think has been interesting about sort of this growing interest in entrepreneurship in the executive formats is that we've come from a time of sort of raw organicism, right? Students just organizing on their own and doing pitch nights informally, maybe a little bit more formalization. You start to see maybe a few more exec students in the iLab or sort of talking to you about what resources available. Now we have a club, an organization, and you start to see some of these informal relationships starting to formalize and people pursuing this interest in perhaps a more serious and focused way.
Yeah, the iLab Incubator Program is one of the programs which over the last, I would say, 5 years, we've had executive format students participate. And often they've been people that actually lived in Charlottesville. Some people, actually this summer, somebody quit or took a leave of absence from their job in New York and came down and spent the summer and I think had a fantastic experience. I saw her at the Charlottesville Farmers Market a couple weekends ago. And that has been something that I don't know if that will increase because it's really hard to do. It is a program that you really do have to dedicate, you know, 10 weeks in the summer to participate. It's not something you can do remotely. The whole point of it as an incubator is the cohort that you form. We have additional resources available online for somebody that's starting a company, and we can arrange mentors and that sort of thing. But to actually get the incubator experience and the full benefit of that program, you have to come and dedicate that time in Charlottesville. And again, that's something that we've had more than one over the years, more than one executive format student participate in. And I was thinking of other things that students in the executive format have taken most advantage of. And the other two areas I would say that have been very popular have been the VC boot camp and the competitions. So the first, the VC boot camp, that happens in January every year. It is the first full, or maybe it's the second full weekend after the New Year's break. So this year it will be January 10th, 11th, 12th. It begins on 10th, which is a Thursday, whatever the Thursday is, with really more of a networking thing. We'll do some kind of panel with alums, maybe alumni VC and alumni founders on the younger side, less experience. And we do sort of a social with, I don't know, whoever happens to show up, but it tends to be an alumni marketed activity. And then on the Friday, that's sort of the meat of the program in terms of the information that is delivered. It's all about term sheets and deal structure and how do you negotiate. There's a lot about how do you build a team because the VCs are, if you don't get the message is we're looking at the team, not just the idea. We're looking at the team, the founding team. And then the third day, well, actually, at the end of the first at the end of the full day on Friday, a live deal is brought in. So this is something that is not historical. This is something that is right in the middle of being funded. It may have recently been funded or is looking to raise. So it's very current. It's usually got a heavy technology, and that could either be sort of like a life sciences focus or maybe a high growth tech, you know, platform kind of company. But it's the kind of startup that a VC would fund in. This isn't, you know, something that's being bootstrapped, and it's not something that angels are looking at. This is actually at the level of VC funding. So it's very exciting because it is a live deal. And the students hear the presentation and get to spend a good amount of time with the founding team. And ask questions, and they go through a whole due diligence process. The students are split into teams, and then the next day they come in and they go through several rounds of question and answer and negotiation with the founding team, and they develop and present a term sheet. So it's a very experiential process, and I think it is the point at which the arcane words that are in the deal terms of a term sheet sort of you begin to understand them. And they're very much demystified through that process. And it's a lot of fun. I think students really enjoy that.
And then, so third day, is there a third day of activities?
Oh, so it's really an evening event on Thursday. Mm-hmm. A lot of presentations on Friday, mm-hmm. and then the competition on Saturday.
Okay.
And we've trimmed it down. It used to be longer, but Darden students do not like to be sit and talk to.
That's fair. It's case method school. So
yes.
So that sounds like a fantastic opportunity. And you also have Startup Academy, right? This is another activity that's out there?
Yes. I do want to go through competitions first, though.
Sure, absolutely.
Just because competitions are another area where we see a lot of participation from the executive format. And but you do well, so because the competitions take place in Charlottesville, it's a little challenging. What we have decided – we tried to do like Zoom or Skype presentations, and that just ruins the flow of the whole event. But if a student is unable to be there to compete, if they're selected as a finalist, then they can send a video. And people have actually gone through and won by doing that. In some ways, there's some advantage, some disadvantage, because you can't answer questions. So you really have to have a good video. But I think for the finals, people definitely make the trip to Charlottesville because the money is higher, $10,000, $20,000. Yeah. So it's usually worth the trip. And you get to meet people. So we have seen a lot of people in the executive format take advantage of the competitions. And you can find all about them by Googling UVA Entrepreneurship Cup. And there's a whole section on it.
Yeah, at least two teams last year, maybe even three.
I know. I think we had three in the mix, and maybe two in the finals.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the current student who's in the iLab, Melissa Stefaniak, she was actually up in D.C. I think recently, the farmers market this past weekend.
Oh,
she's
been
out there.
yeah.
We had her on the podcast not so long ago, talking about her experience in the iLab. You know, starting single baked sweets and this idea of like get out, you know, connect with your customers, get the feedback. You know, don't worry about making it perfect. You know, your customers will help you figure out
they
want and what you need to be offering them.
Yeah.
So certainly know the competitions and the VC boot camp. But what about Startup Academy?
So Startup Academy, we had some good participation last year from students in the executive format. And this year we conflicted with the incoming. And I don't know whether we have any students signed up. But certainly last year, I think it was part of the reason the students, not from the current academic year, but from the previous year, were actually able to accelerate themselves through the competitions because they started getting some feedback then. You know, that's in August, so they were pretty well set up by October to start pitching their ideas more formally. But the Startup Academy is designed so that students can meet before they get involved in all of their regular core curriculum and the intensity of that schedule. And it also, though, is open to students across the university. So we have participation from mostly, I would say, from the engineering school and I think it's called the medical sciences. So people who maybe got a PhD in the medical school, but they are not people who are going to be practicing physicians. But they are PhD in medicine is my understanding. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so probably very heavily on the biological sciences. So those are the two programs that we see most of the graduate students from. And, you know, I think a lot of it is timing in terms of when people can come. Mm-hmm. And also the engineering students, as typified by, you know, Silicon Valley, tend to be very interested in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and the timing, I think we've had students in the executive formats participate as second-year students, right? So as they sort of round into that second year, which is probably the time in the program where you feel like you can take on a little bit more. After you spend a year, you've kind of found your rhythm, you're on the downhill side of things. And so if you are – and also from a career standpoint, if you're really starting to get serious about your startup idea and sort of planning for graduation and maybe a potential launch – it's a time really to wade into it. You probably feel like you have a little bit more space to focus at that point.
Yeah. One thing that we found, I would say, in the overall program, and I did have a conversation with Professor Sarah Sarasvate, who's one of our very esteemed and extremely engaging entrepreneurship faculty. We were talking about how, you know, trying to string together, you know, like this lockstep track of classes. And she's like, no. The reality is, you know, a startup starts and stops and fits and starts, yeah. And it circles around on itself, mm-hmm. and has many pivots, and it really is better to just have as many entry points as possible.
Yeah.
And they might not line up exactly where somebody is, and trying to get everybody to march through. Like if you think of an accelerator program that maybe is funded by a VC, and it's like a fintech accelerator program, and what they're doing is trying to get everybody in there who's pretty much in the, not just the same industry, but at the same stage. And they're looking at, you know, winners and losers in this little race, and you know they might fund one out of that. You know, I'm thinking like anything from like Village Capital does one in the social space, and then you know the Y Combinator kinds of in Techstars kinds of startups, and that's just not what it looks like at a university. At a university, everybody that we're in different industries and at different stages, and able to put different amounts of energy into it. So students, yeah, just come. In a much broader right. spectrum. So we're more trying to provide a lot of opportunities, but not this perfectly scripted thing that you're going to march through like you would in the 10 steps in an accelerator program.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so. And nobody's doing it full time. That's the other thing. You know, if you're in an accelerator program, that's what you're doing for that, whatever it is, 10 weeks or, yeah.
The thing that reason why we've decided to sort of focus on entrepreneurship beyond just feeling like we have this momentum around entrepreneurship in the executive formats is that here at Darden, entrepreneurship makes a lot of sense, right? Or general management, case method, all about sort of senior leadership, that C-suite enterprise perspective. What better perspective could you have if you wanted to start your own business? And so one of the reasons why we picked this up as a topic and theme on the Executive MBA podcast is that reason. So obviously you work with Darden students. You know the resources that are here. What's your sense about Darden as a preparation for people who want to start their own business?
Well, it's interesting because recently, yet another thing that when I talk about people coming at different points, we had two people in the residential program who were had already launched their businesses and were running them while they were in school. So that's pretty challenging, mm-hmm. In the full-time format. But they really spoke strongly to how just going through the core curriculum really helped them think bigger about their business. And one thing about successful entrepreneurship, it's excellence in executing across disciplines. You kind of got to be able to do it all. So again, to what you said, the general management degree makes a ton of sense. And the other aspect of sort of the Darden program that's really helpful is the learning teams. And people will talk going back, you know, many, many years of how they were able to leverage the talents of people in their learning team who didn't necessarily have an idea of their own but were, you know, engaged and interested and had a certain kind of expertise. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you story after story of how people were able to leverage the talents of their classmates. And that's, you know, certainly the beginning signs of somebody who's able to build that founding team. And there's lots of research that co-founders are more successful. I'm not going to say I have the facts on that, but I have definitely heard of people researching that, and it just helps you get through the highs and lows. It's definitely a team activity.
What we talk about in the executive formats is how when you come, you have a consultancy available to you, no matter what, whether you're starting your own business or you're just talking about a problem you're having at work, right? You have this group of people that are similarly interested in business problems, right? Why else would you come to Darden if you didn't want to talk about business problems and really complicated ones and challenging ones? And Melissa sort of got into this a little bit in our conversation about if she has an accounting question or she has a finance question or a marketing question. She knows a little bit about those things now, right, because she's, you know, been through a pretty good chunk of the core curriculum. But she also has subject matter experts in her midst, you know, people that she can call and ask, yeah. Hey, what do you think about this? So not only do you get, you know, maybe the people on your learning team or the people that are in your section, but you also have the 130 plus students in the Executive MBA program, not to mention Darden alumni.
And faculty.
That's right. Yeah, Saros's name comes up quite a bit in these entrepreneurship conversations.
Yeah, and I know I cannot remember the name of the faculty person, but one of the marketing faculty I know, one of the first years from this year, talked about, you know, being able to sit down and go through things with them and getting an hour of somebody's time that has thought about it from a lot of different directions. So, yeah, very valuable.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk just a little bit more about alumni. How do you see sort of Darden alumni who've either ventured on their own and struck out, started their own businesses? How do you feel like they support entrepreneurship here, or, you know, that network beyond Charlottesville?
Well, I know in D.C. there's a pretty strong group of alumni founders who connect with each other and are more than happy anytime I send them an email to meet with somebody and try to get them plugged into what's going on in the D.C. area. Similarly, we always do an event up in New York, and New York is so huge. I feel like maybe it's a little bit less connected, but certainly the alumni that we work with are super responsive. And we have been told that the entrepreneurship alumni event that we do in New York, which we've been doing, you know, just once a year, usually in the fall, is – oh, and we do it UVA-wide. We do it at the Virginia Club of New York, which is hosted in the Yale Club's building. It's all very complicated. But we have been told that it is the best attended event, except for the polo matches. And who knew we had polo matches up in New York? That was news to me.
I've learned several new things during this conversation.
Yes, yes. So definitely the entrepreneurship group, which includes the VCs, they are very engaged, and they show up when we do something like that, which we will do again this fall. And I know I've picked a date, but if you're in the New York area and you can't find it on the calendar, ping us. Because we are doing it. In the San Francisco area, we actually have a person with the Batten Institute, Robin Swift, who's out there and has done a fantastic job of connecting all the alumni and making sure that everyone knows how to find the people that they need to find. And there's just been an increasing number of Darden students who, you know, that's where the jobs are, right? A lot of the high growth, you know, exciting opportunities are in that area. So we've just had a big sucking noise of taking alums out there. And one of the students from the executive format a couple of years ago, she kind of made her way, Jenny Schroeder, from the founder side through the investment banking side into the VC side. So she's had a great trajectory through the EMBA program.
Yeah, we have a few exec alumni that have sort of found their way out to San Francisco post-graduation. So certainly a growing Darden presence in the Bay Area for sure, for perhaps obvious reasons, you know, given all the exciting things that are happening out there.
Yeah.
So as we sort of wrap up here, any last things you would want a prospective student sitting at home listening to this podcast to know about entrepreneurship here at Darden?
I was going to mention some of the online resources. We have a bunch of classes that are run through the Coursera program, which are available. And if you actually wanted to do them for credit, you know, the fee would be waived because you're, you know, Darden. Some of those are very much on the technical side, the design thinking. I think there's a strategy class. One that's being developed now is continuous delivery and DevOps, which is very, you know, again, managing the technology side of things. There are also, you know, three of the schools of thought in terms of the entrepreneurship areas have their own websites. So Sarah Sarasvati's has an effectuation.org to explain the principles of effectuation. And for people that are collaborating, a lot of that is on the faculty and teaching side, but there are some good resources in terms of just getting yourself educated on it. Jean Litka has a Design at Darden website, which again is design thinking. And Alex Cowan, who teaches the software design and development courses and the product management courses. He has Alexander Cowan, C-O-W-A-N.com, and he has a lot of online resources that students can take advantage of.
He also has a podcast. Worth noting.
Yeah. Oh, the Interdisciplinarian. Yeah, so that's for people that are interested in product management. So it's a bunch of Darden alums who are product managers talking about what does it mean at Google versus what does it mean at Salesforce, and, you know, how does it look different? Because it is kind of a vague term, and it's different in different organizations, probably even in different lines of business within organizations.
I'm sure. There's a lot of complexity there. So, well, always look for an opportunity to promote a Darden podcast on another Darden podcast.
Yes, perfect.
So, well, MJ, thank you so much for taking time out of it. It's a busy time of year here, start of school. Thank you for everything that you're doing to support our executive format students.
All right, love it.
MJ Toms, Director of Education and Experiential Learning for our Batten Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. Of course, as always, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the Exec MBA podcast, we're all ears. You can reach us at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.